These symbols indicate certain incidents and history and the Dhamma and the nature to express the Buddhist concepts on various subjects. So when you take the first item, let us start from here. Pagoda. What is this word? Do you know the meaning of this word? This is not a Pali or Sanskrit word. Few hundred years ago we started this word. Formally we have never heard. Pali word is Chaitya and the Sanskrit word is Chaitya. When you read Pali book, you can see Chaitya everywhere. Same word in Sanskrit, we use Chaitya. Pagoda is actually a Portuguese word. The original, the Portuguese word is pagote. The meaning is doom. After that, we started to use this word to introduce Buddhist Chaitya. So many people know this word rather than Chaitya or Chaitya. Especially Sedagun Pagoda in Burma. Now they use this word pagoda. But this is, actually speaking, this is not a Buddhist symbol. Because many people do not know the history. When you observe this very carefully, this so-called Buddhist pagoda and the mosque, a Hindu temple and a church building, there you can see similarities. Especially this pagoda and mosque, those two are very close. Then how this one was originated? So according to our knowledge, this symbol was originated in India, and we do not know how many thousands of years ago. When you read Mahaparinibbana Sutta, when the Buddha started his journey to go to Kusinara, on the way, he has pointed out various Chaityas to his disciples. That clearly shows the Chaitya or the pagoda were very common in India at that time as a place of worship. Then how did they start? They have started to erect this Chaitya or pagoda to enshrine the ashes or the relics of the kings or the emperors or religious people. After enshrining, they started to erect this pagoda. But the meaning of the shape is very important here. There are four stages. This one, and this one. Four stages. And this is the base. And ashes, they bury here. The meaning of these four stages is Pathavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo. Do you know the meanings? Four elements. Pathavi, this is Pathavi. Earth or solidity. Any solid thing we can introduce as Pathavi. Apo. What is Apo? Not Apo. Water. Solidity. In simple language, bubble. This is water. Tejo. Heat. Heat energy. Vayo. What is Vayo? Wind or motions. These are the four elements. So to indicate for these four elements, and they have erected this one by introducing a shape. Most of them are decorations here and there. Then what is the meaning? When a person dies, the elements of the body again absorbs into the same elements. Here we have four elements. So after our death, all these four elements absorb into the existing same elements. This is called dissolution or disintegration. So this is the significance of pagoda. So we bury the ashes here and regard this portion as the earth. Then after that, the solidity we introduce as a bubble. This is the pagoda. This part of the pagoda is a bubble. And the heat energy goes up. Temperature goes up. After that, the wind completely dissolve all the other elements. And after that we cannot see a person or a physical body, but never disappear all the elements. But they have learned only that much. Because in the ancient philosophy also they say, after our death, all the four elements again absorb into the same elements, and that is the end of our life. As at that time, they had no knowledge about the human consciousness or the mental energy. So after this dissolution of the elements, the existing mental energy or the consciousness again join with the existing elements. They could not understand this. Only Buddhism or the Buddha has introduced this. That is how another life or another existence takes place after our death. That departed mental energy is responsible for that, but not the existing elements of the body. So, when the disciples ask, especially Ananda, what to do with his dead body, then the Buddha has given instructions. So after my death, you can wrap my body with so many layers of clothes and cremate. After that, collect all the ashes or the relics and bury them and erect a pagoda. And the Buddha has given this advice. Then he asked, for what purpose? For people to remember this religious teacher who has served the whole mankind, who has given a wonderful message for us to live peacefully and to find out our salvation. So, when they visit this place, they can recall and they develop devotion and confidence and courage and inspire for them to follow this religious teacher. That is the idea of erecting a pagoda or the chaitya in a temple. Later, all the others, Hindus, actually they have started this, but they had only that knowledge, only about four elements at that time. And Muslims and Christian church, when you analyze, you can see, if you reduce this part and this way, again, if you put the cross here, then it will become church. So, originated from the same place. This is the significance of pagoda. Now let us come to this one. This is called Dhamma Chakra, Pali. Dharma Chakra, Sanskrit. You can use either. One particular discourse, or the first sermon of the Buddha, that he delivered his Sarnath, Isipatana, Benares, is known as Dhamma Chakra Sutra. Dhamma means law, chakra means wheel, wheel of the law. So the meaning of this word is wheel of the law. The word Dhamma carries so many meanings, Dhamma or Dharma. The first meaning is law, not a man-made law, natural law. Man cannot create natural law, and man cannot change or destroy natural law. So we are referring to this natural law. Birth is natural. Sicknesses are natural. Decaying is natural. Death is natural. Suffering is natural. Worries and miseries and problems are natural. All these are dharma. So if we can understand this, that is more than enough to know what the Dhamma is. The things that we cannot stop, that we cannot change, natural occurrences. We pray to the Buddha, we pray to God, we pray to some other supernatural living beings, asking favors, asking them to stop these things. But they are also subject to same natural law. So how can they stop? They also have to face death. Then, some other meanings. Nature and Dhamma or natural law give the same meaning. Another meaning is justice, peace. Because those who follow this Dhamma experience or practice justice and experience peace, can avoid so many problems by knowing what this Dharma is. Later, during Emperor Asoka's time, that means 224 or 26, I cannot remember exactly, after the passing away of the Buddha. So when he wanted to introduce Buddhism all over the country, he introduced this as a symbol, as a Buddhist symbol. Those days, In India, there are many religions. Even today also you can find so many. To recognize the Buddhist community, the Emperor Asoka tried to introduce this for Buddhists to wear, just like crossed by Christians. That is how this has become a Buddhist symbol. Then the meaning of the spork, and these things are decoration. This artistic impression, no meaning, only this spork. There are four wheels, six wheels, eight wheels, not wheel, tell you, spork. Then 12. 16 and 32. So far they have discovered. The meaning, four spokes indicate the four noble truths. That's all. The six spoked wheels indicate the six senses. What are the six senses? These five, and the mind, six senses. Eight spokes, one is very famous. Many people use eight for eightfold noble paths. Eightfold noble paths. One path, but eight items. It's called eightfold noble paths. And what are those eight paths? Not eight paths, actually. Eight items. Only one path. What are those eight items? Sammadhitti, Sammasankappa, Sammavacha, Sammakammanta, Sammajiva, Sammavayama, Sammasati, Sammasamadhi. Eight. Meaning? Right, Sammadhitti. What is Sammadhitti? Right? Right understanding. We have to start with right understanding. If our understanding is wrong, everything goes wrong. If we maintain wrong concept, wrong attitude, wrong belief to practice a religion, we won't be able to experience the good result. Right understand. That is why we are trying to learn. If not, we can maintain all sort of belief, what others maintain according to their religion. But we cannot satisfy with mere belief or concept. We want to know. Now this is called right understanding. Sammadhitti, Samma Sankappa. What is the meaning? We say right thoughts. What is right thoughts? We must know the nature of thoughts that which appear in our mind. We never concentrate on our thoughts. When anger, cruelty, jealousy appear in our mind, if you can understand, now there is anger in my mind. There is jealousy in my mind. This is not a good attitude. This can create a lot of problems and suffering. Therefore, I must try not to accommodate such things. Again, good ideas sometimes appear in the bad man's mind also. They also do a lot of good deeds. So when certain good thoughts appear in your mind, such as, oh, I must have courage to tolerate this nuisance without creating trouble, without scolding, without beating, without cursing, I must tolerate, I must have patience to face this. It is a good thought. So if you can maintain this, this is good mental attitude. Right thoughts are based on this attitude. Now this is Buddhism. Third one, Samma Vacha. Vacha means words. Writes a speech. In simple language, art of talk. You must know how to talk gently without hurting, disturbing others. There are so many ways for us to use all sort of words, but many of those words that we use disturb others. That is the third item. Samma Kammanta, right action. Action means by using our physical body, we do a lot of things for our living, for our protection, and to enjoy our life. But some of our actions are very bad, very selfish, very cruel, harmful. By violating all the existing moral code or discipline, we do so many things. There is no right action. We can say we have to do this for our living. It is not an excess. If you hurt others, disturb others for your living, it is not right living. It is only a living. Usually, to enjoy our life within this lifetime, we commit lot of bad things. That is called bad karma or akusala karma. But the idea is to enjoy our life. On the other hand, to enjoy our life in the next birth, we do lot of good deeds by supporting others. But the intention is the same. Understand? You go and rob and kill and disturb others to enjoy your life within this lifetime. You offer dana, you help others, and you relieve others' suffering by thinking after your death you can enjoy your life in heaven. Both these beliefs are based on craving. Remember this. If there is no craving in your mind, you never crave for the next life to enjoy, either in heaven or human world or somewhere else. But that craving is not a bad craving. The craving that you develop to enjoy your life within this lifetime by disturbing others, you gain something you really enjoy. But that is called bad karma. In the next life, such people have no chance to experience peace and happiness in their life. So the aim of Buddhism is, please remember, now you can see the difference between Buddhism and all the other existing religions. The aim of all the other religions is to go to heaven and enjoy life. Eternal craving is there. The aim of Buddhism is not to go to heaven and enjoy life by knowing heaven is not the ultimate aim or the goal. We have to go beyond by reducing that craving. After that, we never experience unsatisfactoriness in our life. Now, this is the difference. So, Samma Ditta, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva, Samma Vayama. Efforts. We have to use some sort of efforts. But this is not actually a physical effort, mental. It's a very big battle. What is this battle? When you come to know certain evil thoughts appear in your mind, by developing your mindfulness, you realize certain evil thoughts appear. Immediately, you use your full effort to calm or to bring down that particular evil thought without allowing that evil thought to create or to influence the mind to do certain bad things. That is called real effort. Again, certain good thoughts appear, immediately disappear. You don't know to develop. So when you come to know some good thoughts appear in your mind, use this effort to maintain, to nurture, support this thought, cultivate. Later you can do a lot of good things. Again, the other aspect. Still there are certain evil thoughts that which never appear in your mind. But there is no guarantee such evil thoughts never appear. So by realizing this, you must know how to guard your mind without allowing such evil thoughts to appear in your mind. Guard your mind. Here you can see the beauty or the advantage of meditation is to guard this mind without allowing all those evil thoughts to come and disturb the mind. Even for 5 minutes, if you can do this. Again, certain good thoughts also not yet appear. But when you look at others, there are some who have developed. And then try to develop such good thoughts in your mind also. Use your effort. There are 4 ways for you to develop these efforts. That is the meaning of right effort. Then Samma Sati. Sati means mindfulness. By fixing our mind on one particular object, without allowing our mind to jump here and there, without allowing these 5 senses to bring so many objects from here and there, fix the mind only on one particular point. Then you can reduce your tension and the temperature, so many mental disturbances. Because mind gets the chance to relax, relax and relax. Otherwise, all the while, every second, the mind had to work to accommodate certain things and to reject certain things. The senses bring all these things from outside. To avoid certain things, we had to use full effort. The mind feels unrest at that time. To reject, reject. Somebody come and scold you by using dirty words. At that time, you allow the sound vibration to enter into your mind and disturb. Then you use your full effort. Sometimes you close your ears also. It doesn't work here inside, boiling. But if you fix the mind to one particular object, you can avoid all those things. I think you can remember the story that I told you. Venerable Sariputta was scolded by an angry man. He was very angry with him. By using all the dirty word, he scolded him. But he was using this one-pointedness at that time. That means his mind worked only through this line. All the other channels were closed. Scolded and scolded, scolded, no response. Just like scolding to a coconut tree. Then this man asked, "Did you hear what I said?" Then he changed that object and focus his mind toward this man, then he asks, what did you say? You didn't hear that I scolded you? No, I didn't hear anything because I was concentrating on something else. Do you think that we cannot do that? There are people who can do this. That is why we have to train our mind. Then after that, the person who comes and scold you become the defeated man. Because he could not arouse your anger. He could not hurt your feelings. That is what Buddhism teaches us. So, sati means this one-pointedness which support our mind to experience calmness in the mind. Then come to the last item, samadhi. Samadhi is a very difficult subject. We go on training, taming, disciplining our mind to handle this mind without misusing. By eradicating all the evil thoughts and cultivating all the good thoughts. When there are no more selfishness, anger or jealousy or grudge or ill feeling, the mind experiences real bliss. It is called bliss. No more disturbances in that mind. And the roots of all those evil thoughts also completely uprooted, eradicated. Then the mind experienced that samadhi stage. Eight noble paths. So these eight indicate the eightfold noble paths. Then 12. Spoke divide into various groups. Here in this wheel, this indicate 12 links means wheel of existence. What are those 12 links? Avidya paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnana paccaya namarupam, namarupa paccaya salayatanam, salayatana paccaya passo, passa paccaya vedana, vedana paccaya tanha, tanha paccaya upadanam, upadana paccaya bhava, bhava paccaya jati. Jati paccaya jara maranam soka parideva dukkha domanas upaya. The wheel of existence. How we go round and round and round within this cycle of birth and death. That is called sansara chakra, wheel of existence. Because of these 12 links, one is attached to the other. That means when this one appears, because of this, another one will appear. Because of that thing, another one will appear. Because of that thing, another one will appear. Then go one round. And again join in the same place where we started. That is ignorance. Started from ignorance. That is what the Buddha says. It is impossible for you to find out the beginning. Because there is no beginning. This goes round and round like this. All are interrelated. You cannot separate one particular item. One cannot exist independently. 12. Then 32 characteristics of the Buddha. When we observe his physical body from here up to the feet, there are 32 special marks characteristics. This a special dot here. And the formations of his nose and the lips and the hands and the complexions and the teeth. So 32. Not like an ordinary human being. That is why many people could not understand whether this is a real human being or any other kind of supernatural living being. They asked this. Then the Buddha said, I am not a supernatural living being. Then when he was asked whether he is a normal human being, he said, no, I am not an ordinary human being. Because his way of life, his knowledge, his wisdom, his enlightenment, and all the characteristics are entirely different. But he never claimed that he is a son of God or messenger of God, any divinity. You cannot find in the Buddha's teaching. He wanted to tell others, these things are natural. We also can gain all these special marks and knowledge and wisdom and everything if we also work for that. This is his attitude. This is the meaning of Dhammacakkavira. This is real meaningful. So many meanings. The whole Buddhism is there. Then we come to this one. This is a very controversial one. Especially during the Second World War. Hitler misused this one. And British and American hate this one. But the Hitler swastika is not exactly like this. The other way around. Negative like. If you notice, you can see. So the real swastika start like this, like seven, like this way. And Hitler's swastika start from here this way and go this way. That is the difference, the negative side. And what is the meaning of this word? Also Sanskrit word, swastika. Swasti means the very auspicious. A special. For blessing, they use the word swasti. The meaning is, may you be well and happy, in Sanskrit, swasti. So later, this has become a symbol of auspicious character, or the time, or for good luck, prosperity. Again, people started to use this one in India for their prosperity, just like cross. And some people say, I do not know how far it is true. The cross also derived from this. Erase this part and this part. Some people say, I do not know how far it is true. Anyway, at that time, during the time of Jesus Christ, cross was not a very good auspicious mark. You know the history. So, when this symbol was introduced to China, they have developed this. They are the ones who introduced this and given many more meanings. When you study ancient Chinese character, and they have used this for 10,000, this swastika, this mark, for 10,000 characters or good lucks or prosperity or so many other things. Later, first time, they are the ones who started to engrave swastika in the Buddha's chest. In India, they have never seen this swastika mark in the Buddha's chest. They started in China to indicate this religious teacher possessed 10,000 virtues, characteristic. Now today you can see this is very common in China, in Korea, Japan, and Vietnam, and some other countries. The chest of the Buddha, you can see the swastika mark. However, this was not a Buddhist symbol in India at that time. But later, many people used this for their good luck. So in China, they introduced this as a Buddhist symbol. They developed this. So these are the simple meaning of this important symbol. And there is another one. We have not drawn, that one is not very important. That is lotus flower. The Pali word is Paduma. Sanskrit word is Padma. Many of you have heard or read the Lotus Sutra. But the original name of this sutra in the Sanskrit language, because they have written this in India, Saddharma Pundarika, the word Pundarika. Saddharma Pundarika Sutra. In English, we introduce as Lotus Sutra. To Buddhists, there is a special significance. In the Buddha's teaching, we can find only this, but not these items. But the pagoda, just now I mentioned. When you read Dhammapada, you will come across this. Yatha sankhara dhanasmin ujjhitasmin mahapathe paduma tatta jayeta suchikandhan manoram evam sankhara bhutesu andabhute putujjane atirochati panyaya samma sambuddha savaka. When you go back, you got this book, you can read. Then you get more meaning. Yatha sankhara dharati. Alphabetical order, the index, you can see Y, under Y. Yatha. Y-A-T-H-A. Yatha. Yatha sankhara dharati. Now one of the discourses given by the Buddha is very meaningful. He says, this lotus flower that everybody loves, but this lotus flower, or the plant, was originated, started from the dirty and muddy water. When this plant is under the water, in the dirty water, nobody wants to go near. Of course, when you want to take out the roots, you take out the whole things and take out the roots for eating. Here we are talking about the flower. If that root is not there, you never touch that. Started from such dirty, muddy water. But when the bud, lotus bud, started from there, slowly come up and up and up and up and come above the surface of the water, then open. After that, everybody loved and like it. In the same manner, in the comparison, our physical body started from a very dirty, ugly place. There is no beauty at all. You open and see, we close the nose. Started from there. Then develop. Develop and develop and develop and develop. Then develop more virtues, more good qualities, more knowledge, more wisdom. Then goes above the normal human community. Then millions and millions of people go and worship, respect, love, appreciate, but originated in such, from such a dirty place. That is only physical body. Again, he pointed out, this mind, when you analyze this, you can see more evil thoughts, more wicked, selfish thoughts, more dangerous and harmful thoughts. Therefore, many people don't like such people, try to keep away from them. Later, when we develop this mind, by reducing and reducing and eradicating all the evil, mud and dirt and wicked, harmful things, that person becomes a holy man, harmless man, perfect man, and everybody honor him, respect him, because he has gone beyond the ordinary man's way of thinking. Now he is honest, kind, compassionate, ready to do any service to anybody, no selfish ideas in his mind, no evil thoughts in his mind. That is the symbol or the meaning of the lotus flower. So, especially in Mahayana Buddhism, they pay more attention towards lotus flower because of this lotus sutra. The lotus sutra, you can see lot of very rich philosophy and the Buddha's teaching. It is a Mahayana sutra, but the various important aspects of the Buddha's teaching you can find in Saddharma Pundarika or the lotus sutra. And some extra teachings which we cannot find in the basic teaching, they have developed, such as Bodhisattva cult, Amitabha cult, Sukhavati cult. They develop further and further. These items you cannot find in the original Pali Tripitaka, because they have introduced these things 700 or 800 years after the Buddha, not before that. Now you can understand why we always use the lotus flower as a Buddhist symbol. It is very meaningful. Then there is another one that we use for meditation, beads. The number of beads they use, either 8 or 7 or 21 or 121. Those who study numerology can explain why these numbers. Buddhism never talk anything about these numbers. But there is something which we cannot understand. People use for their worldly purposes, not for their knowledge, wisdom, or religious way of life. Now, those who want to get lucky numbers, they know how to make numbers. When an accident takes place, they go and take numbers. They say they got something. But we cannot account. We cannot explain how these things work. These things are known as mysticism, some sort of mystical power where we cannot find any religious value. That is why the Buddha did not want to talk anything about this thing. Because all these are worldly things. Because worldly things are uncertain, changeable, in the end create more miseries and problems. However, the numbers are not very important here. What is the significance of this thing? When we use this for meditation, sometimes a Christian, mostly Catholics, also come and, oh, you people also use this one. Because they have not heard that they have borrowed from Buddhists. When you read that book, written by the Christian priest, Two Masters, One Message, in that book, he has mentioned few items that they have borrowed from Buddhists, or from Hindus also, we can say, from India. This is one of them. Because he says, at that time, when Jesus was born, among his community or in that country, They have never used, never heard anything about these beads. They have learned this from India after many hundred years that Jesus passed away. Another thing he mentioned in this book, shaving head. Those days, many Catholics, especially nuns, shaved their head. And he says, there was no such religious practice in that part of the world at that time. And they have learned this and the monastic life from Buddhists and Hindus, from India. And celibacy was unknown to them at that time. There was no such system. In fact, their belief is that every man or woman must get married, must produce children. That is the will of God. God created you to produce children. That is the main purpose of His creation. It is mentioned. But Hinduism and Buddhism preaches, but not as a religious law. Those who can, or those who know how to appreciate and understand the problems and difficulties and burdens and worries and other things by considering about their married life. So they are at liberty to lead a single life by observing celibacy. Then they can reduce thousands and one thing, the problem that disturbs the mind. Easily can lead a pure religious life. So all these things they have learned from Buddhism and Hinduism. The main purpose of this is to arrest the mind for this meditation, especially for those who recite. There are 40 objects for our meditation. Those who cannot concentrate without uttering something. So recitals are important to concentrate for two things. First, we have to concentrate on the subject matters, the words that we recite, the meaning, the ideas. Second thing, we concentrate on the sound vibration. These two things arrest the mind to concentrate without difficulty. Then, why do they count? To gain more satisfaction. After reciting, they realize, oh, they have recited more than 100, more than 1,000, more than 2,000 times. Then develop more and more confidence. Another thing, when we recite some words, either for blessing or meditation, at that time we imbue or we inject our mental energy into that particular object. Now let us take a glass of water and go on reciting some sutras. I recite only once, or three times, or seven times, or 100 times, or 1,000 times. To chant for 1,000 times, I had to concentrate. I had to focus your mind toward this water. And the water got some sort of power to absorb the sound vibration. After that, we bless, we allow people to drink, and they experience a very good result. So in the same manner, when we recite these things for meditation, we can contain the purity of the mind for a long period. Now this is the significance of bead. And another thing, these oil lamps, the lights. Why people are very particular to light oil lamps in spite of thousands of bulbs can give more brightness. But many people cannot satisfy without lighting an oil lamp. there is a strong belief that I do not know, it is a belief that certain devas and some spirits like the brightness which come from the oil, but not the electricity. They don't like electricity. So when you switch on the light, I think they run away. They don't like, but they like oil lamp. This is a belief. Especially when they offer light to devas and the Buddha also. In many countries, still they use the oil lamp. They don't like candles. They say candle is dirty.